You're listening to the official Scottish Rugby Podcast with Caroline and Chris. And this week, fresh from her 50th cap, a huge congratulations. We're joined by Louise McMillan. How are you?
I'm very good. I sound really old when you say that. 50 caps, oh my goodness.
Do you feel old with it?
I do feel old. A lot of the media have been like, in my day when I started, like, you feel a bit old, yeah.
What was
don't
that
start.
Experience?
Don't
I mean,
even
I was
start.
Say the same.
They're both kind of avoiding eye contact. Don't look at the really old guy in the corner as you're answering this question. You're not.
No, but we've been finding that
just
in camp.
Just started young.
And in camp, like some of the newbies, like Alex and stuff, we've been like telling the stories. And Ellen came up to us the night and she's like, she's already heard that story. I'm like, oh my goodness. The old people just trapping the new ones and be like, in our day, this is how it was.
It's changed a bit, though, eh?
It has, yeah. Like when I got my first cap, we were at Scotstoun, but then we used to play at Broadwood.
Yeah.
And you used to look in the stands and you used to know, oh, look, there's like Nelly's parents. Oh, that must be like, you could kind of work out who everybody was because there were so few people there. Like it was somebody's families or from like friends. You knew who everyone was, and now it's like to run out at the stadium like to get my 50th cap, and there was people in every stand was really cool.
And it was, I mean, that was a busy game, but we'll come on to the fact that the one coming up's a sellout. We'll come on to that in a minute. But when you were running out, what was going through your head at that point? What were you feeling? What were you thinking?
I was just trying to take it all in, if I'm honest, because I hadn't really thought too much about it at all. And then in the week, somebody asked me, like, what are you going to do? How are you feeling for it? I was like, oh, I forgot that you did that, honestly. but no, I think I was just trying to take it all in. And it was cool, like, to see people in every stand, like I said. So that in that itself, it was pretty cool. So
it's a huge milestone.
Oh, it is. Yeah, absolutely. 2016, first cap.
Yes.
Was it? Yeah. So that's... It's obviously a reasonable long time, but it's a lot of games back to back to back as well. Like it's a huge milestone in terms of staying fit, being in top form, dealing with injury, dealing with setbacks. I've had a pandemic in that time, so it could have been even quicker.
God,
with the games missed,
that.
Do you know? Like it's a huge milestone. Really, you know, incredible to achieve it. But also that bit where you are running on. You do have to pinch yourself and think, actually, I've got a game to play.
Yeah.
So you want to take it in, but at the same time, well, 30 seconds or a minute and a half, I'm going to have to catch a kickoff.
No.
It's getting the balance, isn't
it? Yeah, completely. And that is one thing about this team is they all made it so special for me, but it was almost like it was almost a bit too much by the end. I was like, thank goodness it's over. We can just play rugby as soon as the whistle goes. Then it's not about me anymore.
The game's easy bit.
Yes, exactly, because there was a lot of celebration, which was very sweet.
You were vocal before the game before achieving your 50th cap about what it means to you on a bigger scale, mm-hmm. and with in the mindset of your role and responsibility with the legacy element of it, I suppose, and being a professional athlete and having the opportunity to do that now that you're on the other side of it. Have you had a chance to reflect on those words?
Yeah, completely. I think like I'm very aware that I came into the squad at a time when I was young enough and still at uni that there was so much flexibility, and I'm definitely appreciative that I've been alongside players that probably would have got to 50 caps but circumstance didn't allow them. So I think definitely now it's professional, like you can't forget this. For so many years it was quite hard playing for Scotland, like working alongside and then turning up to training late and then going back to training in the morning. Like I almost think I couldn't do that now what I used to do. So I'm definitely appreciative that like my circumstance have allowed me 50 caps, but there's so many more before that probably could have got here as well.
And for yourself, there will be so many more for you as an individual to come, and we look forward to talking about one that's coming up hopefully this weekend too. Before that France game, I mean, you know, we don't like to look back too much, but when we look at the evolution of Scotland, mm-hmm. women over the last 18 months, 2 years, this time last year, we would have been talking about a 55-0 defeat to mm-hmm. France. And that was a very different game that we watched and that you were involved in. How did it feel playing that match? And it was quite a battle.
Yeah, it was definitely a battle, but it was quite relaxed. Like I feel we did really well to trust in our systems and stick to our systems, because maybe in games in the past it would be very easy to like lose our heads, but staying very calm and cool was definitely kind of the feeling throughout the match. We obviously were absolutely gutted. Like we lost that kind of losing bonus point right at the end, because we'd fought so hard for so long. But it was really nice afterwards, and everyone kind of had seen the journey that we're on, because this team obviously is on such a journey that it's kind of nice that other people kind of appreciated that as well, like to see where we were last year to now. Sometimes I know that losses don't really impress anyone, but like I think this team has to take something from that, and that's definitely what we have.
It's a huge defensive effort, wasn't it? I said before the game, that I thought that, I know it was 55-0 in France, but that didn't seem...
That didn't reflect.
It didn't really reflect the game. Yeah, you were heavily beaten, but I thought it were closer than the score suggested, but it's hard to justify that. And then a year later, I thought the defensive effort 2 weeks ago was incredible. Probably had to do too much defending, honestly. And then you've got the weather and the wind to deal with as well. And it was almost as if, it felt as if you were in your own territory for both halves. Mm-hmm. And the defensive effort, the desperation to hold out was so good. But I assume that's now the kind of the baseline to start from. And you want to try and get the attack and just try and get some pressure on the opposition. It'll be harder again this week. But I thought that the last ditch effort in first half and second half within 10, 15 minutes on line was incredible. Like against a quality side that have traditionally been much more powerful, much more explosive. It was a massive defensive effort. That's the benchmark now.
I've got a confession for my mother-in-law at this point. So I couldn't make the game because we had a family gathering that was locked in and I couldn't get to it right. So we're sitting, you know, my father-in-law's piling the sausages on the barbecue, getting everything. I had the game on in 1 year, I'm not going to lie. It was really difficult not to get excited about that game because it was, for a neutral, what a great advert for women's rugby and for rugby as a sport. But I tell you what, try listening to that while you're trying not to get caught with an earpod in.
I think the game had a massive effect on France as well. I felt as if they assumed that we'll break through eventually, we'll break through eventually. And it never ultimately came in the last 10 minutes or so, but I thought the effect on them the next time you play them, I think you'll get more of a boost from that game.
Yeah.
I really do think there'll be a level of a sort of impact from that defensive effort.
It was like they couldn't believe what was happening now. It was playing out. It was a great game.
Many tackles did you make?
How many did I make? I think I was like 16.
That's big.
It is, yeah. I think we definitely were proud of as like a team. We spoke about like we stopped them from playing their game and like that's no like. The amount of points they scored against us, I don't think they've done in about 4 or 5 years. Like they're used to being a high scoring team that score lots of fun offloady tries, and we kind of stopped them doing that. So we definitely have to take something away from that.
Then on to what is an incredible moment for Scottish rugby, for all of the players and the backroom staff and everybody involved in this amazing sport. A sellout at Hive Stadium for Scotland v England this weekend. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I mean, it's really exciting. We've kind of known for a little while that it was looking like it might get towards that. So, but to get it kind of earlier in the week confirmed that that was happening is really cool because I think this team cares so much about more than just like what's on the pitch, like the legacy we leave behind. So like whenever there's links to like sell tickets, we're always like, everybody's got them on their stories. If you follow any of us on the Instagram, it's a lot of like, okay, going for the exact same story, but we're also passionate about like getting a whole crowd there. And it's really cool that like we've managed to do it.
Do you feel a sense of responsibility with that, or is it a really organic feeling within the squad that it's just something that you're aware of the privilege of playing in this time and doing your bit as part of that legacy?
Yeah, definitely. But I mean, it's never something we're asked to do or they have to ask us to do. It's something that we're always very proactive about. Like, we want people there. Is there anything more we can do to get people there? Because, like, we love playing in front of a crowd.
It was lovely when we came in here just now. You were signing fan mail and writing a lovely handwritten letter to a fan south of the border as well, you know, someone in Newcastle. But seeing that, it must also feel nice to know that you're growing the game in that way.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely still very strange. Like, it's very like, I've got like my family and like my partner that'll come to the match, and he's still even a bit like, this is really strange watching like girlfriend just walking along getting photos with strangers. But like, it's so cool, and it's nice that like we can make people feel a certain type of way by just doing something you love. So I think I'm definitely in a stage where it's very strange, and it's weird to think that might just become like the normal for some people in the squad. But for me, it's still very much like, this is
a new experience. Does it become normal?
Can't remember.
and like, obviously we've now got our names on the back of the shirt, so that's weird when people are actually calling out your name. You're like, whoa, that's weird.
Is it nice things are calling or bad things?
No. I only heard nice
that might be the evolution then.
There was a great video on actually one of the clips on social media and Scottish Rugby, I think it was an Instagram page, but it was just about all the nicknames as well. It's really nice that we're all getting to know the squad through that medium as well. It's like it's almost a faster way of us connecting with you and you connecting with the fans.
No, we've got a lot of personality in the squad, and like I said, we all care so much about the team, so yeah, there's a few of us.
And in terms of matters on the pitch this weekend then, how's the game plan looking? We're not looking for the specifics, but how's training, how's preparation going for this England game?
Yeah, so obviously there's been a storm about. I think that might hit around the weekend. So we've just been very much our systems, like, let's just go out there and not have any excuses, just be able to cope with that, the way that we've trained.
But then in terms of executing what you're doing in the training, how do you replicate that? So something actually I've thought about with you before, where if you are playing with, you know, training with a dry ball, a wet ball, if you're in the Odeum and it's a dry environment, or how do you replicate that this week if you're looking at potential weather conditions?
Yeah, we've done all of our training outdoors, which obviously we do have the nice facility there, so we're always a bit like, oh no, we have to go outside. But no, it better prepares us, so we all understand, like, that's probably the likelihood it won't be the nicest at the weekend. So
although it's sometimes you need a warmer coat inside the Odeum.
It's cold in there. Well,
it's a bit of a greenhouse, isn't it?
Yeah,
sometimes it feels really colder in there. Well, yeah,
it's funny because it probably not as much as you think would change, because your strategy and your structures and your plays will all have a couple of options off them, depending on what the opposition do at the last minute in terms defensively, or depending on the conditions. If it's seriously windy, if it is proper, you know, monsoon rain or storm winds, you'll have a wet weather plan and a storm weather plan, mm-hmm. which will vary quite differently what your normal thing is. But unless it's extreme, it says more about executing or taking the right option and the two or three options you have and executing it really well. I think it's going to be gusty this weekend, so it probably won't be too big a change, mm-hmm. and especially after with the defensive effort against France, and then England are a different challenge, of mm-hmm. course they are. Probably didn't show too much in attacking sense that would have given England a whole heap of ideas of what's coming, so probably don't have to change as much from the last game to this game, which gives you continuity and time together. Obviously there was a down week as well, where it was opportunity to recharge physically and mentally, so yeah, it's... Yeah, I'd say probably ticked quite a lot of boxes and should be in a good place looking ahead to the weekend.
What did you get up to in your down week?
I actually didn't have any plans, which was lovely. I was maybe going to stay up in Scotland, but I left it so last minute that all the prices of flights were so expensive. So I made the mistake of telling my mum too early. I was like, oh, maybe I'll stay up and we can have some. She was like, oh my goodness, that would be incredible. And then I looked at the prices and said,
delete.
Sorry, nope, I will not be doing that. I will be going on the flight that was booked for me. But it's nice. It's like sometimes, like, especially in a competition like this, like, even when you have downtime, you, like, you don't really get that break. So for me, it was probably quite nice to just completely remove myself.
Where do you lean in terms of your social time in the squad then? Where do you end up gravitating? I'm guessing it's to some of the players that have been around, like yourself, for a wee while, or in the nicest way.
Yes, no, but it's also like, I obviously have like people that, the thing is, like, this squad is kind of different from any thing else. Some of the closest friends of my life are in this team, which is really nice. But then also, like, I love the new girls coming in because they bring such good energy, and like to sit with them at dinner or at lunch, like, you always get some good stories. So
has that been helpful, do you think, in terms of the cohesion, bringing in that new, that, I don't want to say youth, right?
No, but it is
you know it will
there's one born in 2005 and you think, what, you should not be able to play in this team, but yeah.
It's brilliant yeah. for that, the social yeah. aspect of it, the, I suppose, the variance of, you know, experiences, of chat, of, you know, just personalities, but also in terms of on field, because a kind of new vigour, a speed, a mentality, it comes on field as well, and you then begin to, you know, doubt yourself, be like, well, I need to prove that I've got more experience, yeah. I've got 50 caps, I need to set a standard, and somebody comes in that might, I don't know, have a better speed time, or they might be better in some of the tests or the gym tests, and you're like, oh, right, I should be further ahead than somebody who's just new. So it's great for social stuff, for team bonding and stuff, but also for just keeping the edge, because if you are one of the more senior players, you want to stay there.
Yeah. And I think it's also cool to see, like, our pathways really starting to work, like, all yeah. the girls that kind of have come up have played like Celtic Challenge, and that's really cool to see, like, them get rewarded for great performances there and, like, coming into the squad and being so able,
yeah.
instead of, like, you know,
that's a big point,
yeah, because sometimes it felt like people came into the squad were just kind of random how they'd got here, where it's nice now to see, like, mm-hmm. there's systems in place that they're hopefully not too much of a big gap or transition when they come in,
and also when they do come in having performances like Alex Hewitt in the first couple of weeks as well.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just coming in to, I know, be part of it. It's coming in to push
training,
on.
It's to actually push for jerseys.
Yeah, completely.
And in terms of then managing your club and your country commitments, how have you enjoyed that in terms of the, I guess, looking back at your 50 caps to where you are now, that experience will be building. You've mentioned travel there. That's one slight issue. But apart from that, how are you finding that being away?
Yeah, so I play down at Saracens, and they're quite good at international windows, just kind of like leaving us be, because sometimes when you're training, like we'd have training camps up here half of the week and then go down to Saris, it was a lot of like, you kind of just need to mentally kind of have it in two separate boxes, check into like, especially me, like line out calls, because they can, some of the words and stuff, guys, they're so similar, and like colors and words that are used are very similar, so it's very much like you kind of just need to put them in different boxes and not mix them up, because you can definitely get yourself in a muddle.
That's the point, isn't it? Yeah.
It can be worse than that, because you can have the same move but with a different name.
Yeah.
Or you can have different moves with the same name. Mm. And it is just, and that's where your small talk, where you're sitting, sit with somebody different at breakfast or lunch and chat about it, it gets, you have to get into the,
I do think it's definitely easier as a forward, you just put your hand up and run, whereas the backs, I think, definitely.
It can get quite confusing. Yes. But then, I don't know, maybe sometimes the backs just put their hand up and run as well. Maybe that's where we're going wrong, getting too complicated. But before that, I remember you training at Broadwood in academy sessions a long time ago, and obviously you were still studying then. Was it law?
Yes, it was.
Did you finish that?
I did. I got the degree.
Amazing.
I then worked in the bank, so I didn't do too much with my law degree, but I do have it. Yeah. It's completed.
And will that be part of the future, then? Or are you going to stay in rugby?
Yeah, I think so. Like, there's definitely, like, I definitely promised myself, like, I used to have a kind of a corporate job, and I very much promised myself when I committed to rugby, that's what I was going to do for a little while. And it's kind of the future of rugby, like, if I never really thought too much that this would actually manage to be like a career or something, but obviously it's getting more and more professional. So to me, what first would be like maybe just a couple of years, go and chase your dream, is now actually like, this is a bit more of a profession. But yeah, I like to think I'll kind
as
of
well, you know, you've got a law degree behind you, you'll be representing.
Yeah, I like to think I'm a little bit employable, so hopefully
incredibly
job
so
after.
And that's, I suppose, that point where, you know, did you find with your 50th cap that you do start thinking in that way at all? Or are you very much just enjoying this journey? Because you're only, what, you're on 26?
26.
Right? You're 26.
Yeah.
So this is the best part, surely. 100. Now you're like,
no.
Look at me.
100 seems so far away, oh my goodness.
How far away did 50 seem?
No, I know. I know, it very much crept up on me, though, that suddenly we're getting into big numbers, but yeah.
Yeah, as soon as you, it's that 50, isn't it? It's a big milestone.
It's just the next goal.
It's just set
another goal. You go after it, you commit to it, you go for individual goal, team goals, a whole lot. It's just the same process, just repeats and repeats and repeats.
Are you that type of player? Do you set goals for yourself?
Definitely goals, not with cap numbers, no. The 50 was a really, not a surprise, but it was really nice when it happened. And like I said, the team made it so special for me. But I definitely, when I started playing, like, it wasn't even like, it didn't seem achievable at that time. Like, nobody in that kind of group of squad of girls that I played with when I started had 50 caps. It's actually been really special that, like, we've managed to celebrate quite a lot of them in the last few years. But for a few years there, like, that wasn't really, I don't think, anything anybody thought could happen. And now it's just becoming a bit more normal that we've kind of managed to keep the same squad for a while, which is pretty cool.
And so rumour has it, you're a Swifty.
I am a Swifty. So I don't think it's a rumour, it's just fact. Swifty.
I'm a bit of a Swifty, but you are Swifty.
I am, and you know, I think I'm the team Swifty, but you'll be surprised to know there's some secret Swifties. Why? In the squad.
It's funny, isn't it? What is it about that? Have you got tickets? The main thing is, have you got tickets?
I have tickets, but Murrayfield was running into English semis and finals time.
Yeah.
So I'm going to Wembley, do not worry.
Okay.
And I, as soon as I got them, I text Ellen, I text Brian, I text Alex from Saracens. I said, I'm not available on those dates. And I gave them a year in advance saying, it's like a wedding, I will not be there. I'm sorry, guys, you can put what you want on those dates. I'm at Taylor Swift.
I don't care what's happening. I'm going to
Taylor Swift, yeah.
Have you got a favourite song?
Oh, I would never say I have a favourite song. I would have like a song of the moment. So I could never just say one, because I wouldn't want to lock in on one. It's very much how I'm feeling at the moment.
So some days it's like Wildest Dreams, other days it's like,
exactly,
oh,
exactly.
Such
she's
a
got
good
she's
song.
Got a song for every feeling, every moment.
Mossy's face. Now if you are listening to this on the official Scottish Rugby Awards, as opposed to watching Mossy's face, I can tell you right now it's an absolute picture. Well, enjoy. You've got tickets, you've just said.
Yeah.
He's saying quiet.
He's a bit more research.
Are you a
Swifty?
I don't know.
No, do you know
my
what you're in?
Do I know what, sorry?
What era you're in?
No.
No.
This
no.
is the best.
And I understand the era is the tours era. And
do
that's
you know
a
any
thing.
Songs?
I would if you press me, but you're not going to press me.
No.
I do have tickets, but it's my daughter, my wife, and her friends that are going.
You know what he's trying to do here with this question?
I'm actually working. I'm actually working. I'm commentating on a Super Series game the night, so Jeremy's sitting over there going to give me the night off.
Well, it's great to see that squad settled, and it's such an exciting weekend of rugby for Scotland women ahead as you take on England at Hive Stadium. And I'd love to start pushing tickets, but if you've not got one, you're no going. I will be cheering very loudly from the stands. Very best wishes to you for that game. And thanks very much for joining us on the official Scottish Rugby Podcast.
Thank you.
And as always, you can catch up with the latest news and content via scottishrugby.org or via Scottish Rugby's social media channels.